Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Russ M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Norristown, PA. Today's Friday, July 24th, 2026, and this is a 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today, we're reading from the Big Book. We're in We Agnostics. We are on page 53, and we're reading that and sharing on that fourth paragraph, starting with "that was natural," ending with that faith had been involved all the time. Our readers, for the 12 steps, we have Tenzin P. For the 12 traditions, we have Anne Marie M. Jane S. is going to read and share, start us off. We have Devorah S. for page 164. Our backup readers, Elizabeth D. Newcomer greeter is Susan S. H., and second hour host is Robin L. The share IDs for yesterday, Thursday, July 23rd, 2026. The 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,660. That's 23,660. And the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,661. The OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating, compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And Tenzin P is going to read the 12 steps for us.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you. Tenzin P checking in from New York City. And here are the 12 steps that we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, came to believe that a, no, sorry, wait, three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact of God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive eaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tenzin. Next up is Anne Marie M. with the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Anne Marie M. here. The 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
All right. Thank you, Anne-Marie. Thank you, Tenzin P. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the for recovery described in a big book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Excuse me. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the big book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. So we're back, and we agnostics today. We are on page 53, that fourth paragraph, starting with, that was natural, and it ends with, faith had been involved all the time. And Jane S. is going to read and start us off with a share.
Yes, good morning, everybody. My name is Jane S., hailing from New Hampshire today, recovered compulsive overeater. Grateful to be here. Thank you for everyone's service. That was natural, but let us think a little more closely. Without knowing it, had we not been brought to where we stood by a certain kind of faith? For did we not believe in our own reasoning? Did we not have confidence in our ability to think? What was that but a sort of faith? Yes, we had been faithful, objectively faithful to the God of reason. So in one way or another, we discovered that faith had been involved all the time. Wow. I read that this morning early, wondering if maybe I would be sharing today. And of course, I have all these things I want to say. I could talk about each one of these sentences, you know, but what really got me this morning when it said, you know, did we not have confidence in our ability to think? No, I didn't. When I came in to this program 17 and a half years ago, my story is God brought me to AA, AA brought me to OA, and OA has brought me to a God that I trust and rely on today, that I have faith in, that I feel safe and protected and loved by, but I didn't have that in the beginning. So for me, it was a process. I didn't get it. I honestly thought that faith was for religious people who went to church and believed in God, and I didn't believe in God, not when I came in. And so God got me sober first, took alcohol and drugs out of my life, which was a beautiful thing. But what I did not realize was food was a drug for me, and I picked it up with a vengeance. And My AA sponsor was my Ebby. She is the one who brought me to OA and said, you know, you might want to go check it out. So I did. And thank God I did. And I remember I used to go to meetings in a basement of a church in Exeter, New Hampshire, and I would walk down the steps, and there was an office at the bottom of the steps, and on the door, it had a sticker on the door, and it said, faith is a verb. And that just really struck me, and I have it written in my book several times here. So for me, just for me, it was a progression. I didn't understand faith. I didn't understand God. But you all taught me. I found my way to this particular meeting about 10 years ago. And, I just immersed myself in this big book with you guys in the 12 and 12. And you have helped me find a God that I don't understand, but that I trust and that I know loves me. And today for me, faith is a verb. I got to get up this morning and wake up and know that I am an alcoholic and I'm a compulsive overeater. And there are things that I can do today that will make my life better and that will give me more faith. And in hindsight, when I look at this and it says we discovered that faith had been involved all the time, yes, I guess I did have some faith somewhere deep in my heart. I just had to find it. And you guys all helped me find it. You helped me learn to love myself, how to forgive myself, and then how to clean up my past. I had to clean up the wreckage of my past. And I still continue to do that. I'm headed back to the seacoast this weekend where I got sober and where I got abstinent. And I'm going to go to some of the meetings that I used to go to and say hello and spend some time with some of the people that walked with me in the beginning. And, you know, I'm coming from a recovered state of mind today. So that faith today for me looks so different. I get to do all these things to give back. Self-sacrifice, service to others, walking through with other women and taking them through the steps and being of service in this fellowship is just, that's how I have faith today. And I know that God will walk me through anything that he unfolds in my life today. So with that, I will gratefully pass and listen to everyone else. Thank you.
Thanks, Jane S., I believe from New Hampshire. So although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day. Y'all know the deal. First name, first initial of your last name, where you're calling in from. I know it's hard. One at a time, I'm going to try to do better to hear everybody. And I will definitely let you know where we're at throughout the meeting. Who wants to share on this passage?
Janet B.
Janet.
Heather K.
Heather.
Gail M.
Gail M. Don't be shy. Come on, we could grab some more.
Elizabeth C.
Elizabeth.
Lisa C.
Lisa. Who else? All right, we'll go with this. Janet B., Heather K., Gail M., Elizabeth D., and Lisa C. All right. Janet, you're up.
Hey, good morning, Russ. Good morning, everyone. This is Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. Yeah, this paragraph talks about, like, faith in God, confidence, you know, reason. And I was thinking that I always believed in God. I was brought up to believe in God. There was never a day I didn't believe in God. I didn't have faith that God could restore me to sanity, right? Our whole second step, we need that. And I was thinking about that once, like, how could a person, like, believe in God but not believe God restores them to sanity? And then on page 60, it leads us through that so beautifully, right? That we turn to it real quick. It says that we believe that God could and would if he were sought. But first it's to think, okay, do I believe that God exists? Yes. Do I believe that God has restored other people to sanity? Well, all I have to do is spend a few minutes with y'all, and I know that. God has restored so many people to sanity. Do I believe God could restore me to sanity if he wanted to? Well, yeah, he's God. He could do whatever he wants. do I believe he will restore me to sanity? And that's, I think, where I got stuck and where a lot of people got stuck. So I was thinking about that. What are the reasons we think God could restore us to sanity, but he won't for me? And I think it's usually one of four things. I've done some really bad stuff. I'm not worthy. I've tried it so many times before and it hasn't worked, and I'm not willing to do the work. But if someone says I'm not willing to do the work, yeah, right, God probably won't restore us to sanity, unfortunately. But if we've done some really bad stuff, like I have, you know, I did go back to a hospital and making amends for going there for a fake rape examination. That's why there's a 9-step in this program. We've all done a lot of bad stuff, and that's okay. But I think the main thing is just this feeling I'm not worthy. I don't deserve it. And so I'm really happy to see that, like, the word worthy or deserving is nowhere in the text section of the big book. God doesn't require worthiness to restore me to sanity. He only requires willingness. And then he gave me a roadmap of what to do through these steps. And then finally, if I said, well, I've tried this so many times before and it hasn't worked, because that was me. I spent 6.5 years in these rooms not getting better. And I kind of liken it to if I have my cell phone and I'm trying to take pictures, but I'm pushing the on-off button, I'm never going to get better. I need someone to show me the right button to push. And it doesn't matter if I've been in here 6.5 years or it's my first day or 30 years, I can get better. So this program has really showed me that I can have confidence, not so much in my own ability to think, but confidence that there is a God who loves me and has given me a roadmap that I can use to be restored to sanity. And I'm just very grateful. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Janet. Next up is Heather K, followed by Gail M.
Hi, this is Heather K from Pennsylvania. And I'm just sitting, I don't share very often. I often listen to the recordings because of my schedule, but I'm sitting here just saying, you can share today, you have time, and praying, what should I share? What do I need to share? And it strikes me that, you know, the God of reason, just that phrase jumps out at me. I'm supremely competent in most aspects of life, and that is such a drug. That I can figure this out, I can figure that out, I can manage this thing, that person, work, and how I've made that my God. And as I was sitting this morning trying to make some conscious contact with God, there's a relationship that's really painful in my life right now. And I wrote, God, why do I think that conscious contact with my son can relieve all this anxiety, but not contact with you? And so, you know, I sit here and I think of all the things and all the people and all the behaviors really that I've made God, including food and eating behaviors. And I just think, like, sure, they are helpful. They carry you, they this, they that, but they are all poor replacements for an all-powerful, all-loving God, higher power, to carry, to relieve anxiety, to restore me to sanity. And I don't even love restore, because I'm not sure that I was ever sane or that any of us start out sane. I don't know, but certainly can bring sanity, peace, and calm. So I feel a little disjointed, but thanks for letting me share, and I will pass.
All right there, Heather. Thank you. Next up is Gail M, followed by Elizabeth D.
Hi there, Gail M from Jersey, grateful recovering compulsive overeater. Thank you, everybody, for your service. Thank you, everyone, for being on the line this morning. Day 17, abstinent, on step 3 with my sponsor. I always had some kind of faith that always gave me hope. However, confidence in myself, no. Very grateful today, pass.
All right. Thank you, Gail. Next up is Elizabeth D., followed by Lisa C.
Hey, I'm Elizabeth C. from Maine. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And this paragraph made me think about the faith I had in myself to control my eating for so many decades. And even though every day I had evidence that told me I had no control over my food or exercise, yeah, I continued to believe that I could do it. And I was so faith-filled in my ability to lose the weight and to finally get control over it that I didn't even really try that much other stuff. I tried diet pills later on, progressed, but I was just so convinced that I could repeat that like maybe 5 times I have actually lost the weight and gotten to my goal weight. I was so confident, even though every day the opposite was being shown to me. I thought I could get back there. There was absolutely no evidence for that actually happening. And this paragraph also made me think about how I always had some kind of faith in God. Even when I first came into the rooms and I saw the slogans on the wall that said God, I was horrified. And the word God really ignited anger in me. And now I know anytime I get angry over something, it's probably exactly what I need the most. It's exactly the place I need to look. That's where I need to shine the light when I'm angry. It's like a signpost. This is the way. This is the way. So I started out so angry about God. And then over the next 15 or so years, God slowly cracked my heart open. I lost a dog who was really special to me. And after that, I just knew in my bones that he hadn't disappeared. And that really opened my eyes up to the fact that there was a God. But I still didn't have a relationship with that God. I didn't have faith that that God was going to guide me or lead me in my life. And then I joined program, and in that desperation, in that dark place, I was able to open my heart to the possibility of having a relationship with that God and having that God come into my life and start working in my life. And since OA, which is really where my relationship with God just has blossomed, I've learned like how deep that relationship is and how much that higher power is in my very soul and guiding everything I do every day. And yeah, I'm grateful to be here and thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thanks, Elizabeth. Next up is Lisa C, and then we're going to take another list.
Hi, did you call Lisa?
Yep.
Thanks, I was unmuting. Okay. Good morning, this is Lisa C. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from New Jersey. Good morning, and thank you. This week's meetings have been so amazing. This is a great paragraph because we're like pivoting towards the real reality here over the next few paragraphs, you know, really talking about faith. And I mean, ultimately that, I was living a life of faith, even not actively believing God or even thinking that I, didn't have a belief in God, but I was living by faith. And that's what these paragraphs are telling me. Believing in a diet is having faith, believing that getting to be a size whatever is having faith that when I arrive at that point, I'm going to be a different person. It's just that my faith is in the wrong source. This paragraph has me asking myself, like, what were some of my beliefs? What were the things that I was believing in? And I love this line, abjectly, right? We had been faithful, abjectly faithful to the God of reason. So in other words, abjectly is just another way of saying sort of like sheepishly or like meekly, I didn't realize I was worshiping the God of reason. I didn't realize I was worshiping my diet and the size that I believed that I should be. But I was, right? So in other words, it comes back to that essential step two question of what was my choice to be. I mean, some of the ways I had faith before this program is I believed that I could stay healthy, but keep restricting and binging. I mean, I kept trying new diets. I believed the experts. And most of all, I really believed that there would be a point of arrival. In other words, I believed that once I reached the size that I thought I should be, that being that size would bring me happiness and confidence, and that it would completely transform me and my life, that it would actually change who I was, my personality, and that it would suddenly give me the skills for life that I sorely needed to learn. That was the most devastating belief. And that, I think, is why I am the kind of compulsive overeater who was constantly gaining and losing like the same 30 pounds on this roller coaster, on this like merry-go-round, because I would get down to the size and my life would be worse than ever and I couldn't tolerate it, so I needed to eat. And then the cycle would just continue because I could not understand that I was worshiping this. I was worshiping this external experience, and I did not understand that I needed the internal transformation. So my choice today is God and this program, which gives me the skills to seek God and to live in alignment. And that's a very different life. And it is so much better than I could have imagined. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks so much.
All right, Lisa, thank you very much. We're going to open up the lines for Sharon again. Although we value experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day. You guys know what's up. And we are in Reagnostics on page 53, that fourth paragraph, starting with, that was natural, and ending with, faith had been involved all the time. So need your first name, first initial of your last name, where you're calling them from.
Dorita P.
Dorita.
Lisa M.
Lisa.
Lee H.
Lee.
Monica T.
Monica.
Amy MC.
Amy MC. We could take about three more. That's what I'm thinking. But you know how good I am with the math. All right, we'll go with Dorita P, Lisa M, Leah H, Monica T, and Amy MC. All right, Dorita, you're up.
Thank you. Thank you, Russ, for your service. My name is Dorita Pippen. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. Really grateful to be here. It's a privilege and honor to be at a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Everybody do not get this opportunity for whatever reason. So I'm really grateful I have a seat here. For whatever reason, and we're talking about the God of reason. I just thought of it. Let's see. I hate everything I was going to say before now. The God of reason. So the God of reason, the God of my thinking. Believing in me. Believing in myself or believing that I was God was not a conscious thought. I am in OA by way of EA, and I guess I was stuck on step two. I've always been thinking I was stuck on step three, but I guess I was stuck on step two. And I would go back and forth to my group saying, "Well, I don't understand about this God, whatever this God is, what the God would have me do and be and all of this." And I was going back and forth and back and forth. And finally, an old timer asked me this question. He said, Dorita, do you believe that you're God? Or do you think that you're God? I said, no, I know I'm not God. But that's kind of how I st- started my journey. I always believed in God. Like I shared before, I always believed in like a God. I was raised to believe in like a God. But right before I was taken to my first Emotions Anonymous meeting, a lot of people had died, like maybe 5 or 6 people died in a couple years. So, so I was like the guy in the big book who said, well, if there is a God, you know, he sure hasn't done anything for me. And that's where I was. But this God of reason in my thinking. And I was raised to be self-sufficient and independent. So I was raised by a single mom. And so I guess I did really believe in not necessarily me being God, but that I was the only person that I could depend on. And to be honest, really, at that point before program, my thinking, I mean, it was true at that point that my thinking was the best thinking. And the reason why I say that, and kind of like a side note, is we say my best thinking got me here. My best thinking landed me in the 12-step room. But yes, my best thinking, like, I'm going to talk about my thinking compared to the other thinking. None of the thinking makes sense. Like, okay, with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Dorita. Next up is Lisa M., followed by Leah H.
Good morning. My name is Lisa M. from Virginia, and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater just for today. And thanks, everybody, for your service at this meeting. And I was just thinking about faith and in this reading, and faith being complete trust or confidence in something or someone. And I know for me, when I walk into a room and I sit on a chair, I don't test the chair out for me today as to whether it'll hold me. I just sit down on the chair. I have complete trust and confidence that the chair will hold me. Now, there may be something mechanically wrong with the chair. There may be a screw wrong or anything. But as for me today, I don't test that out. I don't try it. I just sit down and trust that it'll hold me. And I'm thinking about that in relationship with God. If my trust and confidence in God were that complete today, as much confidence or trust that I put in a stupid chair in a room, why do I sometimes find myself trying God or asking God or questioning whether he will hold me, whether he will sustain me? It's insanity. And for me, just going back to step 3, complete trust and reliance on God. And trusting in so many other things on a daily basis that I don't even think about yet when it comes to the God of the universe, my Savior, my Redeemer. Why do I find myself sometimes questioning his ability to hold me, his ability to sustain me? I just need to always bring myself back. When I get into the craziness of my thinking, bring myself back to God. I do trust you. Sometimes don't always understand you or see you or how you're moving in a situation. But yes, when I don't even feel you sometimes, yes, I trust you. I trust you. When I don't see your hand, I trust your heart. And with that, I'll pass. Thanks.
Okay, thank you, Lisa. Next up is Leah H., followed by Monica T.
Well, good morning, Russ. This is Lee H., and
Lee.
I'm living.
Sorry,
yeah,
Lee.
Good morning.
Sorry about that.
That's okay. I'm so glad to be here. And I was having lunch with a friend yesterday, and she talked about her son being an agnostic. And I thought, oh, my goodness, I know about that. I shared with her about this meeting and the chapter in the big book about agnosticism. And, you know, I'm so thankful for this chapter because when I read this, when I started studying this with you all on this meeting, it started making sense to me. the reason, the God of reason. I didn't realize that's what I was worshiping, was the God of reason. And I think fear in my childhood drove me to the God of reason. I didn't have anything else. You know, I was with this friend, and we have a religious affiliation. And it's just interesting how, in the religious world, agnosticism rarely ever comes up in conversation. But I'm so grateful because it helped me to understand why I didn't, have faith in the God of my understanding growing up as a child in church. And breaking it down, I see now that I was worshiping the God of reason because I was so fearful of my family and just the dynamics with living with two alcoholic parents. And I'm just, so thankful that now I see that I had faith all along. I had faith, that this chapter teaches me that we have faith in something. It's just that I had faith in something that was unhealthy for me. I had faith in the food, and I had faith that, if I could just please my parents, or please other people, that I would feel better. And this book teaches me that just all I had to do was just draw near to God, that He could and would if He were sought. And, that last line in the chapter is one of the most favorite meaningful lines to me in the whole book, is that when we draw near to Him, He disclosed Himself to us. That's all I had to do, was to draw near. And, being abstinent and following these steps, just, realizing that I'm just powerless over everything, and that all I had to do was just take a step toward Him, and He would gradually disclose Himself to me in a way that is just miraculous. And I just love the relationship that I have with my God today, because I was given, this information and realizing that I have faith, but it was just in the wrong thing. So thanks so much, Russ, and I'll pass.
Thanks, Lee. Next up is Monica T, followed by Amy MC.
Good morning, Russ. Good morning, everyone. This is Monica T. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Florida, presently in Vermont. So here we are in We Agnostics. And the subtitle that We Agnostics is I Without Knowledge. I miss something. And a few paragraphs back, they said, what are we going to do here? I'm in the corner. What am I going to do? Am I going to continue on in my disease, or am I going to go towards this God thing? God is everything or God is nothing. That was pretty scary when I read that the first time. It's like, man alive, this don't sound like much fun to me. I don't know here, but I'm in the corner. What am I going to do? And now, so they're trying to get us to go from belief in something to a faith in this higher power, that and looking at reason has brought us so far, but we haven't stepped off that boat yet. And so we're saying, okay, well, haven't we thought, don't we have ability and ability, do we not have confidence in our ability to think? I have faith in my thinking. I have faith in a lot of stuff. How do I get from faith to belief? I definitely had faith in the food, but I'm going to share a little story. I know many of you will know where it came from. So I'm new in town, and I have something wrong with my car, and I don't know a good mechanic, and I'm a woman, and I don't want anybody to take advantage or think they're taking advantage. And I want to pay a fair price. And so I asked my neighbor, do you know of a good, fair mechanic that does a good job? And he said, yeah, I go to this guy. He's really good. You like him. So based on what he says to me, I have a belief here, a belief that this guy is good. So I go to him. I take my car. He does a great job. He doesn't charge me an arm and a leg, and I'm happy. My car is running good. So the next time, something happens with my car, I ask God, because I have experience, you know. Knowledge has given me, I've experienced some knowledge here about this guy. And I will go. I have faith. So they're trying to get us to go from, okay, I believe in a God, I believe in something. Can I have a faith in this? And it's a process. This has been a process for me for over 20-something years. And all I know is, you know, whenever I look back over my shoulder, I cannot deny that something has been helping me and working with me all these years. And it's been a struggle at times. And, but, you know, I've learned the right button on the phone for the camera. Thank you, Janet. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you. Next up is Amy MC, and then we could take a few more.
All right. I think it's me. I was unmuting. This is Amy MC calling in from Massachusetts. Thank you, Russ, for your service. And gosh, what amazing shares this morning. You know, what I'm relating to here is the fact that faith is a verb, right? What I realize more and more is my lack of action. And I am an action person, right? Like, I don't like to sit still. I want to be doing. I'm working on human being rather than human doer. But with that is letting those actions speak louder than words. So what is my faith? My faith means that I'm not obsessing, that I am turning it over to God. And yesterday that meant several 10 steps, same issue. Because faith is a verb. I need to put it into action. So continuing to turn over my will and my life to God, and the God of my understanding. I love that we talked about the God of reason and when he draws near to me, and that this is part of my chemical makeup, or maybe not chemical, but part of my makeup. And I have a hard time when people don't have a faith or don't have, you know, some spiritual religious practice, because I think, how are they going through life? How are they doing this? And then I have to move the focus off them and back to me and get to share experience, strength, and hope about my faith and how that faith has gotten me through so many things, not only compulsive overeating and not only obsessive thinking, but other things too that are outside issues. But I didn't know, right? I didn't know faith was a verb. So I would pray, God, just please help me with this food thing. Why is it everything else in my life is just fine, but I can't stop eating this? Once I open the bag or the box, I have to finish it. And then I get this icky feeling, so I'm going to go have something else. You know, it didn't work, but the God idea does. And so with that, I pass.
All right, Amy, thank you. So we have time, I think, for maybe 3 or 4 more shares. Let's try to do that. And let you know where we're at. Let me let you know where we're at again. We're on page 53 in We Agnostics, that fourth paragraph, starting with that was natural, and then with faith had been involved all the time. All right, who would like to come?
Ana Yetta.
Who would like to? Ana Yetta.
Judy N. Susan S.H.
All right, that's okay, hold on. Ana Yetta, Judy S.H. And who else was that? Is that Susan? Judy Ann.
Yeah, Sarah Leah. It was Susan.
Susan S.H. And then who else?
Sarah Leah.
Sarah Leah. We'll see if we can get to you, Sarah Leah. We might be able to. And what's the... All right, we'll get your initials later. Hannah, you have to R. You're up.
Thank you, Russ, for all your service. My name is Hannah Yetta, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater in Plano, Texas. I first want to just welcome the newcomers, people returning. You are so important to me, and I'm so glad you're here. Welcome home. Logic. First of all, I don't think I ever knew what logic was. I mean, I don't think I thought logically or had logical thoughts at all when I was eating, drinking, whatever I was doing. But what I wanted to talk about, the fact of this faith, I have this amazing amazing faith in God. I think my faith is amazing. I feel that everything comes from God. It says God is everything or God is nothing. Well, I think he's everything. And, well, there was something else that I wanted to say about that, anyway, I don't remember exactly what I was going to say on that. So I just wanted to share that, that when I have faith, it means that I believe that everything happens without mistake. That's what it is. Everything happens and there's no mistake. God has everything planned, and I believe that God does everything. I believe we have free will, but I also believe that God knows exactly what we're going to choose. And but I do really believe that my recovery comes from God, totally, thoroughly God and my willingness. All I have to be is willing, and then he just does it for me. I am free. I have no negative thoughts. I have no. Food doesn't call me. Food doesn't. It's early in the morning. My words just don't want to come out. But food doesn't call me, and it doesn't make me want to eat it. And I'm so grateful for that. Neutral. I'm food neutral when it comes to things I don't want. I look at things and I go, oh, that's a really pretty. It's kind of like a table decoration. When it's food I can't have, it's a table decoration because then I don't have to, you know, I don't eat table decorations. Anyway, I just want to say don't quit 5 minutes before your miracle, and everybody has one. Thanks again, Russ, for everything. Have a good day, and anybody celebrating, have a good Shabbos.
All right, thanks, Avi. Hani Yata. Next up is Judy N., followed by Susan S.H.
Good morning, Russ. This is Judy N. from Maryland, living one day at a time, recovered. And what comes to mind for me is the reasoning. And again, my logic, I had it at times, but I was so impulsive and compulsive by nature and anxious that my life was just unmanageable. My decision-making was not based on logic most of the time. It was just based on false dependencies. And then I had this willingness. I always believed in God. And in beginning the steps, I had the willingness to do the work and the willingness to have faith. But what happened was, for me, as I worked the steps, went through the steps, lived in 10, 11, and 12, one day at a time, my relationship with my higher power got deeper. It got deeper to the point of trust and reliance. So now that I trust, I feel like I can trust and rely on God. I can go deeper than that to a dependency, a strong dependency, that when I pause, God is there. If I just pause, he's always there, but then I can really feel him, and I'm not living on my impulse. I'm not living on my will. If I just slow down, stay calm, pause, do those 10 steps when necessary. But I think it's that trust and reliance that I now have, and more than anything, the acceptance of God's will. Because there's so many things in my life that I want to change, but I know I can't change because I can only change me, and it involves other people. So I just am very grateful that today I do live on faith and trust and reliance and dependency on God. And this is the most manageable, sane way of living that I've experienced. And I know it's just forever. I'm never cured. I just get my daily reprieve. But I wouldn't change this for anything. God is everything. I agree. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Judy. Next up is Susan S.H., and we might be able to, I don't know. We'll see if we can get Sarah Leah. But Susan, you are up.
Okay, I'm ready. Thank you. Susan Hatchett in Ohio, compulsive overeater, recovered today. What I get from the paragraph is that was natural refers to that how heavily I was depending on reason that last mile, and I didn't want to lose my grip on that support. So I was trying to reason out understanding that I was powerless, and I was afraid that I wouldn't have any control over anything. And I had to very gradually come to trust, come to believe and come to trust that I've been taken care of and I will be taken care of. And there are directions in the book that point me right back to my higher power. And that is where I turn when I'm feeling powerless, when I'm feeling, unmanageability. It comes. It does come from time to time. But that is the power I found, a higher power that takes care of me and comforts me when I'm beside myself over something and gives me a daily reprieve. I don't have to run to the refrigerator with my disturbances, but I have come to run to my higher power. And I am so grateful. It's such a better way to live than I have lived most of my well over 200-pound life. I'm grateful for the weight loss, but I'm so grateful for the directions that point me right back to my higher power. That's the understanding that I have come to, and I'm so grateful to have been gifted this way of life in this space, and I will pass.
All right, Susan. I think Sarah Leah, you got 2 minutes we could do if that works for you, because we got two and a half minutes right now. So by the time you jump on here, it'd be 2 minutes. All right. Anybody want to take 2 minutes up?
Go ahead. I was going to tell, I have a completely different relationship. Well, I have the same relationship with God, but how I got there. My mother was severely mentally ill, and she used to stick things in my stomach. She couldn't have broken the skin because my dad would have noticed. But anyway, it scared the shit out of me. And I was 9 months old. Now, you can't remember when you're 9 months old. You can if you're traumatized. And so anyway, when she would leave the room, this light would come in the room, kind of like a mood lamp with gold and white undulating or whatever. And anyway, and that would make me laugh, whatever it was. But when that faded or left, I was left with this unbelievable energy. So powerful. That is my belief. It's pre-verbal. I treat it as a personal God, but I have no clue whatever God is. And I heard a wonderful analogy years ago, and it's about God is like the water in a colander. It pushes through the holes, and I look up and I see my hole is full of resentment or anger or whatever, and it makes me willing to give up those things. So thanks for letting me share. Bye.
And Sarah, there, where are you calling in from?
Oh, Florida, and my last initial is H. Sorry.
H. H. All right, awesome. Sarah Leah H. from Florida. And thank you for sharing. Thanks to everybody that shared. And everybody that served for this meeting. We really appreciate it because it wouldn't be going on without everybody's help. So please stick around for a second unrecorded hour study immediately following this closing. Okay, today's share ID, Friday, July 24th, 2026, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,663. And now we're going to end with the passage from big book and a vision for you. Page 164, our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you till then. Devorah S. is going to read that, and then we're going to pray the serenity prayer.
Hey, good morning. Thank you, Russ. This is Devorah S. from New Jersey, a recovered compulsive overeater. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you will find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.